Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming today to our panel. My name is Eugene Katzen, and as you heard, I'm from the Gender Department at FHI 360. I'm going to be speaking to you today about a project combating school-related gender-based violence in Democratic Republic of Congo. To start off, I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd like to begin with a definition of school-related gender-based violence. School-related gender-based violence results in sexual, physical, or psychological harm to girls and boys. It includes any form of violence or abuse that is based on gendered stereotypes or that targets students on the basis of their sex. It includes, but is not limited to, rape, unwanted sexual touching, unwanted sexual comments, corporal punishment, bullying, and verbal harassment. Unequal power relations between adults and children and males and females contribute to gender violence. Violence can take place in school buildings, on school grounds, or going to and from school, and may be perpetrated by teachers, students, or community members. Girls and boys can be both victims or perpetrators. This definition comes from USAID. So as you can see, it's a very broad definition, and you'll see later on in the presentation the various forms that SRGBV takes in DRC. The extent of the problem is very vast. Global estimates indicate that almost half of all female students and a sizable number of male students experience some form of sexual violence in the educational context. And the health impacts are very significant. SRGBV has a long-lasting negative impact on students' academic performance, as well as their physical health and mental well-being. It's important to see how this project fits within the current policy context. In the recently released U.S. Strategy to Prevent and Respond to Gender-Based Violence Globally, goal number one is stated as mainstream and integrate GBV prevention and response activities across sectors. So the strategy states that GBV prevention efforts need to go beyond standalone programs in global health and democracy and governance and integrate GBV prevention work into all sectors of development. And this project takes a school-based approach to addressing GBV. In 2010, with additional funding from USAID's Women in Development Office and the Africa Bureau Education Division, the Sea Change Project in DRC began a new initiative promoting positive social and gender norms to prevent and mitigate school-related gender-based violence among school-aged children in Katanga province of southeastern Democratic Republic of Congo. And our local partner for this project is called IDI, Initiative pour le Développement Intégral, and they were selected based on their prior work on the USAID Ambassador's Girls Scholarship Program, where they had previously been working in Katanga province. And the project targeted 31 schools in three districts of Katanga: Lubumbashi, the provincial capital, as well as Likasi and Kasumbalesa. The major project objectives were to equip girl and boy students with knowledge and understanding of school-related gender-based violence and the skills for how to resist or avoid it, increase the knowledge of school administrators, teachers, and parents to identify, discourage, and intervene in cases of SRGBV, to establish policies and structures in the schools to discourage SRGBV and encourage administrators, community members, and parents to enforce them, to increase the number of students who report incidences of SRGBV and seek out supportive services, and to increase girls' and boys' understanding of the consequences of SRGBV and change the underlying attitudes that perpetuate it. At the beginning of the project in November 2010, we conducted a baseline to assess the levels of awareness, prevalence of SRGBV, and attitudes and behaviors of various stakeholders. So we conducted mixed methods, quantitative and qualitative study that was administered to students, parents, and teachers. Over 900 students, 900 parents, and over 450 teachers were part of the survey. We also conducted focus group discussions among each of the key stakeholder groups. And both the survey and the focus groups revealed that school-related violence was widespread in Katanga, and teachers and parents recognized its severity and were aware that students were victims in their schools. Some of the key findings from the baseline were that physical violence was widespread and punishments for students were reported to be very severe. Many students reported staying away from school because of these severe physical punishments by teachers. Also, on their way to and from school and during recreation, girls especially reported a high level of physical abuse. In terms of sexual violence, sexual threats were reported to be frequent, and perpetrators were both teachers and students. Primary and secondary school girls reported that teachers and male students often made sexual advances and tried to touch them inappropriately. And less than one-third of the students reported that there was a procedure in place at their school for dealing with cases of school-related gender-based violence. So as you can see, school-related gender-based violence is a very complex issue resulting from harmful gender norms and a power imbalance between males and females. And given that these are deeply rooted causes, we had to develop our interventions at multiple levels. First, we had to address individual students. We also had to target our interventions at the level of local communities and also at the institutional level within schools. So at the individual level, based on the USAID Safe Schools program, we developed a life skills training curriculum that increased students' understanding of school-related gender-based violence. The training equipped youth with the knowledge and skills necessary to resist and avoid sexual violence. At the community level, we engaged parents and community members through a multimedia communication campaign using community radio and television to raise awareness and get them actively involved in improving conditions in and around the schools. Here you can see a picture of one of the target schools displaying a banner advertising a number of radio programs and spots on human rights, corporal punishment, and positive discipline. And finally, at the school level, we worked with teachers and administrators to develop codes of conduct that were transparent, well understood, and enforced. And teachers were trained to identify and avoid improper behavior. And at each school, we recruited and trained what we called focal teachers, one female and one male in each school, who were given additional training to act as first responders in cases of school-related gender-based violence. We also established a referral program to identify and link up with existing services in the community for psychosocial, judicial, or medical support. In terms of key outputs, over 700 teachers were trained in recognizing and combating school-related gender-based violence. 31 target schools developed teachers' codes of conduct that explicitly addressed SRGBV. We recruited and trained over 60 focal teachers as first responders. 154 youth club leaders were trained in SRGBV prevention peer mentoring. And we developed 3 comic book editions based on SRGBV that were printed and over 13,000 copies printed and distributed in all the target schools. Here again, some key outputs. Before the project, 75% of schools did not have a person designated for dealing with cases of school-related gender-based violence, whereas post-project, 100% or all 31 of the target schools had designated focal teachers in place to act as first responders. Here you see one of these focal teachers leading a training session with her class. Also, before the project, only 16% of teachers said that they were directly addressing SRGBV in their work with students, whereas after the project, 89% of teachers were directly addressing SRGBV in the classroom. Here you see an example of one of the comic book editions that was developed for use by the students. This one is on violence and positive discipline, and then on the left is a picture of the U.S. ambassador looking at some of the training materials developed for the program. Here again you see the comic books that were used by youth in their after-school peer mentoring sessions. Now I'll go to some of the findings from the Project N-Line, which was conducted in May of this year. After 1.5 years of programming in the schools and surrounding communities, we conducted an N-Line assessment to look at levels of awareness, prevalence of SRGBV, and attitudes and behaviors of key stakeholders. Again, we used mixed methods, quantitative survey plus qualitative focus groups. And over 500 students, 500 parents, and 250 teachers were included in the survey, as well as 18 focus groups. And here are the key results that we found. Pre-project, 33% of students said they were aware of how to prevent or avoid SRGBV, whereas post-project, 90% were aware. And for the teachers, 56% before the project, up to 95% at the end. So we saw a significant increase in awareness of how to prevent SRGBV. Now, this looks at levels of awareness of instances of different types of violence in the school. So these are not individual cases, but rather levels of awareness of students of instances occurring in their school. But it serves as a useful proxy for the prevalence rate of these types of violence in the school. And as you can see, all forms of psychological violence, threats, teasing, intimidation, insults, bullying, and humiliation all decreased significantly. Next, we look at physical violence. And again, this is not individual instances, but rather awareness of the prevalence rates in the schools reported by students. And we saw significant decreases here as well, especially the first bar graph you see, striking with or without a whip, which refers to corporal punishment from teachers. Next, we look at what teachers are reporting after the project. And here, it confirms what we saw reported by the students, where all forms of violent discipline on the part of teachers decreased significantly as a result of the project. And this is perhaps the most telling result that we found. We asked students, do you feel more or less secure in your school compared to previous years? And the green represents target schools from our project, and the purple is control groups, control schools where we did not intervene. And in our target schools, 46% reported feeling more secure than in previous years, whereas in the control schools, actually more students reported being less secure than more secure. In terms of academic performance, we also witnessed a substantial improvement here, and this was not one of the initial objectives, but nevertheless, it was an important finding. So this is a quote from one of the teachers in Lubumbashi. We noted the improvement of results on the national test for end of primary studies in our school. The girls have 100% pass rate and the boys 90%. In former years, the highest percentage we ever achieved was 83%. Since 2010, we started to apply positive discipline in our school, and we noticed that even the most timid pupils began to ask questions in class. The use of positive discipline has created a climate of dialogue between teacher and pupils. The target schools labeled themselves École sans violence. That's a title that they took upon themselves and branded their approach to positive discipline. And other schools in the region were actually encouraged to adopt the same framework. And they weren't among our target schools, but they took it upon themselves to also adopt the same practices. This is a visual of the referral guide that we developed that identified psychosocial, judicial, and medical services in the community. And this was tailored for each particular community, and we had laminated posters printed prominently in each classroom so that everyone in the school knew where to go to seek out these services. So going forward, we see as the key to sustainability the engagement and the support of national and provincial authorities. And this was very much the case in our project, where the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Gender, Family, and Children, the provincial police, and the provincial teachers union were all supportive of our project. it also requires continued engagement on the part of teachers, students, and parents to keep this going. I'll close now with the following call to action. The first is a quote from the U.S. Strategy to Prevent and Respond to Gender-Based Violence. And it says, in fields such as education, USAID must further develop and implement strategies that ensure gender-based violence is addressed. Generally, the integration of gender-based violence prevention and response efforts in various sectors can increase awareness and reduce acceptance of harmful practices. And finally, violence against children is never justifiable, nor is it inevitable. If its underlying causes are identified and addressed, violence against children is entirely preventable. That comes from the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. And these are some of the student leaders in the target schools that led the after-school youth clubs, showing some of the comic book editions they used in their peer mentoring sessions. Thank you.